Praise God. Well, I'm glad everybody is here this morning. Turn to look at the person beside you and say Merry Christmas. Glad everybody's come out today. Well, I want to share a word with you this morning. So if you would, get your Bibles out this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, want to know why we yell? Well, we ought to be excited about the Word of God. We're not just crazy. The Bible says the Word of God's living. It's able to leap off that page and into your heart. Now, you probably expect me to go to a real nice Christmas story this morning, and I'll get there, but we're going to go on a long journey a little bit this morning. So, if you would, go in the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus. How about that? I bet I'm the only preacher in the world this morning starting in the book of Leviticus on a Christmas service. Leviticus chapter 10 this morning. I don't like to do things normal, you know. Y'all forgive me, I got a little bit of, been fighting all this junk all week, so I'm a little stopped up, but Well, let me just get into the message here. I'll get to rambling here this morning. And matter of fact, let's start in chapter 9. And let's look at something here. Let's start in verse 18 and let me lay some groundwork here for where I'm trying to get with this message this morning. Now, most people hate the book of Leviticus because it's so technical and it's boring and there's not a lot to it, but all of the book of Leviticus was written for the reason to try to tell the children of Israel, God was trying to tell them what they needed to do in order to have grace or favor in His sight or His presence. You couldn't just come on in the Old Testament, just couldn't come into a Sunday morning church service and just come into the presence of God because there was a problem. The problem was is that man, after the Garden of Eden had fallen, and that there was a sin problem. And man couldn't go into the presence of God without the holiness of God killing man. All right? Now, you got to understand something. You know, like, I'm just kind of speaking off the top of my head here. I don't know a whole lot about all this, but I read the internet. How about that? You know, you can't just go into a nuclear facility and go in there where there's nuclear radiation. You're not going to see it. You're not going to taste it. But if you stand in the presence of nuclear radiation, it'll kill you, right? It's going to get you. Well, the same thing with the glory of God. When God shows up, God is so holy. God is so good. God is so perfect. God is so God that when sin comes into His presence, man, it's consumed. Y'all with me? The problem is not that God is mean. A lot of people have an image of God that He's like an old man sitting in a rocking chair with a magnifying glass, you know, and you're the ant on the hill. And he's got every once in a while, just for pure meanness, he just kind of gets that magnifying glass and gets the sun just right and just starts burning you, you know. That's what a lot of people's image of God is, you know, you don't want to have any relationship with Him. You don't want to talk to Him. Dear Lord, don't go to church. Don't get around Him. Don't read the Bible, because then God's going to get you. So you try to live your life under the radar. Hello? Anybody ever thought like that before? I did. I was raised in church. But you know, it's just like, you know, there's just a few things in life. If you're not in trouble, don't mess with it. Dear Lord, just leave it alone. Maybe it'll keep running. And so a lot of people's relationship with God is like that, and they live that way. But in the book of Leviticus, God is trying to show man that, look, you need a Savior. You need some help in life, folks. You blew it in the garden. You were in my presence. I created this perfect world for you. I created this everything to be our presence together forever. But it got blown. It got messed up. And now there's got to be some way to make this work out. I want to have fellowship with you. Listen to me this morning. God Almighty, the creator of the worlds, okay? He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you good things. He's not out to burn you with a magnifying glass. He's out to tell you how much He loves you. He wants to consume you with His love, not His fire, not His wrath. He wants to consume you with His love. You know, think about this. If love is pure, and love is God. Well, then every time you see in the Old Testament where the glory of God appeared, well, that means the absolute love of God appeared. And the problem is man, we got problems. All right? So they've been trying to go through here. Here's the first sacrifice they made. God showed them and given them some instructions. So look at verse 18, Leviticus chapter 9, verse 18. Excuse me. So he killed the bull and the ram as a sacrifice of peace offering, which were for the people. And Aaron's son presented to him the blood which he sprinkled around the altar. And the fat from the bull and of the ram, the fatty tail was covered, the entrails and the kidneys and the fatty lobe attached to the liver. And they put all the fat on the breast and they burnt the fat on the altar. And the breast of the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord, and Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, came down from the offering to the blessed them and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. Verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. So right there, the love of God, let me just put it this way, the love of God burst forth from the tabernacle and appeared to all the people because they offered the sacrifices as God had prescribed. They laid it down right. They did what he had asked. He did it, and then God appears. But when he appears, you got to get this imagery out of your mind. Religion for too long has tried to teach us that that glory that appeared was the wrath of God. He wanted to get you, pinch your head off, you know, straighten you up, get you to act right. But actually, it was just God coming out on the scene, wanting to love his people, wanting to just come out there and just say, man, I'm so glad I'm here. You're here with me because God, listen to me, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world, not the good people, not the righteous people, only the people that do everything right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the love of God at this moment burst out of the tabernacle and he appears to all the people. Now fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when the people saw it, they shouted, and then they fell on their face. Now, I don't know if they shouted like, ah, and fell on their face. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see when we get to watch the DVD someday. You know, I kind of expect that's the idiocy of man. You know, he just kind of fell on his face, screamed, thought that he was going to get consumed, and fell on his face. Okay, now, you read through the scriptures and you follow this through. That fire that fell that day and consumed the altar, you got to understand, they built an altar, they put wood under, they did all the stuff, but they didn't light it. All right? They didn't light it. You ever heard the old expression, somebody needs to light the fire under him? You know, somebody's moving kind of slow, not kind of lazy or whatever, somebody needs to light a fire under him. Somebody's not getting the job done quick enough, somebody needs to light a fire in him. Well, they put the altar out there, they put the wood out there, they put all the stuff on it, but there was no fire. Y'all with me? And then when God appeared, the fire came down and consumed the altar. And so in other words, when God's goodness stepped out onto the scene, he created and caused a fire, a literal fire, to come up there so that the sacrifices could be burned up, so it could be all the sin offering could be consumed, so it could take place. And it didn't seem kind of strange. You're going to go barbecue. Come on, Ernie. You're going barbecue. And then you know, you get the wood, you get the everything you need for the barbecue, but you ain't got a fire. I mean, that sounds strange. You brought the meat, you seasoned it, you put it all out there, you put it on the pit, and you wait. I mean, we don't do that, right? That's what they did. And God appeared, boom, and the fire of the Lord appeared and consumed all the sin offering. Okay? So tradition tells us, and you read through the scriptures, you can look at this, that what God wanted them to do was that original fire that fell from heaven upon that altar was supposed to be continual then. So that day when the altar got started, it was somebody's job in the Levitical priesthood to keep fire going all the time so that they called it original fire. Y'all follow me? Because it first got started by God and they just kept wood on it. Right? Okay, go to chapter 10, verse 1. Let's see how long this lasted. Chapter 10, verse 1 of Leviticus, it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire. Some of your script Bibles may say strange fire, before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So what these two guys do, they're the next morning after the party's over. All right? They're coming in there to offer the incense offering to God. Now, incense in the Old Testament always represents worship. So they're coming in there to offer the worship offering to God. They're coming in there to give God glory. And the boys just, you know, I don't know if they weren't thinking, they were stupid or what the deal was. I don't know what the deal was, okay? But they just went by the campfire and picked up some coals, put it in their little incense deal, threw some incense on it, and walked into the temple. In other words, they didn't go get it from the brazen altar that God had started. So something happens here. Verse 2, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. They died before the Lord. Now Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke to me. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. Now, I have a different view of this. Because as I've read the scriptures and I've looked at the scriptures and I read all this, if you read it with a religious mind, you say, oh, mean old God, poor old guys, just messed up, did something stupid. They shouldn't have killed him. You know, that's just God. That's God for you. You hang around him too much, he'll jump out there and burn you. But I don't see it like that at all. I see it that the love of God was sitting right there, wanting to consume them, wanting to be with them, wanting to, his presence was wanting to be with them. And if they would have offered the sacrifice or offered the ordinance of the service correctly, then God would have been right there with them and everything would have been great. Wasn't God's fault at all. It was their fault, Nadab and Abihu. You know, I don't see them much anymore, but my mother used to have one of those dustpans, you know, that flipped down, you know, it was set in the corner and you flipped it down with on a deal and it flopped down and then you swept it up. That's what they did to those boys. Somebody come right into the temple with a dustpan, dropped it down, swept those boys up, and took them out. And I'm telling you, it wasn't God's fault. I'm telling you, God was grieved that day that that happened. God didn't want that to happen, but there was no sacrifice. There was no grace. Everybody say grace. There was no grace because they had to do it specifically as it was in order to be in God's presence. And there was no grace, no leadway, no leniency because God's holy and he's going to consume them. Back to my nuclear story. If you go into a nuclear facility or whatever and they give you a radiation suit and you put the radiation suit on, the suit's supposed to protect you from the radiation, and you get a limit of time and how much you can be in there, all those kind of things like that. You can function in it, but you got to have the suit on. So somebody says, I don't want to wear this suit. That thing's hot. Well, dude, you're going to die. You got to have a brain cell, right? You got to know what's going on. You got to work within the parameters. That's the Old Testament. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Go over to the book of Luke. Chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's pick up the story right here in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee to Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now having come in, the angel said unto her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute, because depends on how I feel here in just a minute. I can take a turn on this, and you ladies will really not like me very much. I'm sorry. But being it's Christmas, I'll try to smooth over this thing. But right here, it says that when God appeared to Mary, he called her highly favored one. So Mary, she must have really been special, huh? Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not knocking Mary, okay? Just don't send me a letter, okay? You know what that word favored means right there? If you go look it up, you know what it means? Graced. In other words, you know what? You were, he said, hello, Mary. You've really been graced. Now, I don't know about y'all, but let me ask you something. In your mentality, if you're doing everything right, do you need grace? Well, I mean, if you're doing everything right, you know, I mean, we all need some grace. But if you're doing everything right, you don't need grace. If you're doing everything wrong, you better have some grace. Hello? If you're not getting the job done right, somebody better highly favor you and say, look, it's okay, we'll make this work out. Are y'all following me here? What I'm saying is when Gabriel showed up to talk to Mary, his first word said, hey, much grace to you. You're graced. I want y'all to know something this morning. Because of what Jesus did, and this is where I'm getting with this thing. This morning, God wants to come and visit you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to live in you. And I want you to know he can do that because you got grace. Let's read on. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Again, that word favor means grace with God. And behold, you have conceived in your womb, and you're going to bring forth a son, and his name is going to be called Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said, how's this going to be, since I do not know a man? The angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born in you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her womb in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her whom was called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. All right, ladies, don't get mad at me. I just got to bring this point out. God looked all over the place because he had to have a woman. And he finally found Mary. And the reason why she was graced is because she was a woman who would be quiet and do what the Lord said. She was chosen, I believe, with all of my heart, because she was the kind of a woman that said, okay, Lord, I don't understand it all, but let it be unto me according to your word. Her qualification for having the Son of God born on the inside of her was simply the fact that she would be quiet, not argue with God, and do what he said. Merry Christmas. So as I began to look at this and I began to just pray about it and study it and look at it and just run and just mulling it over in this whole situation, I thought, you know what? Isn't it interesting that God wants to birth in you Jesus? Hear me. He wants you to have Christmas every day because he wants to bring forth Jesus in your life. He wants to bring forth goodness in your life. He wants to bring forth a Savior in your life. He wants to bring forth all these great things in your life. But the biggest obstacle to that happening is us arguing with God and not wanting to do it his way. We want to do it our way. I don't know about y'all, but I've prayed a lot of prayers in life that were not answered. And as I've looked back on my prayers, every one of them was because I was trying to talk God into doing it the way I want it done. Excuse me. Mary just sat back and said, okay, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. I'll do it your way. So God said, you know, that attitude brings you grace. Folks, listen to me. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be in the greatest place of your life right now. You may be in a worried place of life. You may be fighting sickness. You may be doing this or that or the other. I don't know. I can't know everybody's heart. That's God's job. I'm just a preacher. But I want you to know, I believe all of us need grace. And I'm glad to know that when I wake up in the morning, that I have grace. Because his mercies are fresh and new every morning. And I'm glad to know that when I wake up and I'm walking through life, that I know that I'm going to make mistakes and I'm not going to do everything right. But I'm glad I know that I have grace. That it's not going to be like Nadab and Abihu. And I'm not going to walk into God's presence and get consumed, that I know that there's grace out there for me because of what Jesus did for us. Hello? I'm glad to know that I can put a smile on my face and I may not be doing everything right, but I said, Lord, I just thank you for your grace. You're going to get me through today and you're going to help me through tomorrow. And as long as I keep listening to you and listening to your word and trying to do right, then you're going to birth in me everything that I need. Maybe a process of my whole entire life, but I'm going to get from A to Z. Some people may get there quicker, but that's okay. I'm not running their race. I'm running my race. Hello? Okay, so let's jump over to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now this census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, everybody always gets mad at the innkeeper, but you got to understand, nobody turned her away. He wasn't a bad guy. All right? But when I read that, there was no room for them in the inn, I just want you to know this season, make room for Jesus in your life. Don't be like the innkeeper and say, well, my life's full of all these things that I'm doing, all these other priorities in life. Don't be the innkeeper that doesn't have any vacancies. This is a time, I guarantee you folks, right now, more than ever before in our lives, in 2013, I believe, that you need to make a lot of room for Jesus in your life. So, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill towards all men. Now, from the day that I read to you in the book of Leviticus to this day, listen to me, I believe God had been perched on the edge of the throne waiting for the day he could bring Jesus into the world. I believe, I don't know how it all works. I don't understand. And no, I can't sit here and tell you, but this is the way I see it in my head. He was perched on the edge and just looking, just waiting to bring Jesus back. And he knew the timing was all in there, and they had to get everything ready and arranged, and all of heaven knew something was about to happen because God wanted to fellowship with man. God's love was burning and yearning, and he was just wanting to be with mankind and wanting to be with you and me and just wanting to be able to sit down and talk with us and have a relationship with us and help us through life and say, don't do that, or yeah, go do that. But he couldn't do it because there was this problem. His holiness was going to kill us. Can you imagine? Folks, if you had some sort of a disease that you could not go be with your children or touch them. Or let's say you had leprosy, and if you touched your children or hugged your children, then they might get leprosy and you could never touch them. How grieving that would be to love somebody and want to hold somebody and want to touch somebody, but you couldn't. Because if you did, you might kill them. This is what it was with God. He was wanting to come down in mankind. He was wanting to touch us. He was wanting to talk to us. He was wanting to be there with us. But he couldn't, because when he did, he'd kill us. His holiness would kill us. Our lack of holiness. Hello? So he's excited. Oh, God's excited. He's so excited for this day to come about. Here's Mary riding this little donkey. about to deliver the Son of God into the world. Right? God's on the side. Come on, Mary! The angels are so excited they can't even keep quiet. Thank God they go to some country boys. Want that noted? Didn't go to the city folks. Went to the country boys. Talked to them. Had a party. Angels flying around everywhere, flipping up and down, doing somersaults. Jumping up and down because, man, the Savior's born in this world. He's come. It's Jesus. We got it made. It's here. Woo! That's how excited heaven was for the day that Jesus was born. Folks, listen to me. The world gets it so wrong at Christmas because they turn it in and they focus everything upon gifts and giving. And that's a part of Christmas. Because Jesus gave, God gave us Jesus and Jesus gave us his life. But it's about this Savior coming into the world that all of a sudden grace was going to abound towards you. And all of a sudden, God was going to be able to come and fellowship with you and literally live in you. Live in you. Because of grace of what Jesus has done. And I want you to know, this right here was one of the biggest parties heaven ever threw. They were excited about Jesus. The shepherds then said, man, we got to go see what this is all about. Can you imagine, guys? Come on. You're out spotlighting. You're working on the call, trying to call up a coyote. And the next thing you know, the heavens open up and angels are jumping around everywhere. Would that not freak you out? I just pray that nobody would take a shot at one of them, you know, or something. Biggest dove I ever saw in my life flew by. Heaven help us. But it happened. It happened just like that. Listen to me. They weren't in a church service. They weren't in a stained glass cathedral when God showed up. They're in the barn. They're out in the field. God wants to show up in your life wherever you are. He wants to break forth with rejoicing with you wherever you are, wherever you're going, whatever's taking place. Oh, he loves it when we all come together like this, but wherever you are, God wants to come right into the midst of it. He said, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know. You don't know the kind of life I'm living. Let me tell you what, there's enough grace for the mistakes you're making. There's enough grace for God to still come into your life if you'll just hear what he's saying to you today and invite him in. Amen? All of heaven busted forth that day. All of heaven erupted that day. So glad that God could be with man. God could be with man. Now, this is what's a shame. I want you to look at another scripture here. Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10. And can I get you guys, Lord, can I get y'all to come back up? I want to look at Romans chapter 10. I want to start in verse 4. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Rome. And he says, for Christ, or Jesus, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is the law. The man who does those things must live by them. If you're trying to live your life and do everything right, and that's what you're hoping that's going to find you favor with God or get you grace with God, we want to do right. We want to do good. But I want to tell you something. If you've left Jesus out of the equation, you've missed it. The righteousness, verse 6, the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jews and Greeks. For the same Lord is over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to me. God was so excited. He was so excited to come and to break forth upon humanity. He was so excited to bring a Savior into the world. He was so excited that he was going to get to have fellowship with man, that he made it really simple. Made it really simple. He said, you know what? I'm going to make it so simple. I don't care if they're rich or they're poor, or they're white or they're black, or they're green or they're pink, or they're what their color is of their skin, or where they're born, or where they wear a hat or a cap. They wear boots or shoes. I don't care what they are. I don't care what their intelligence is. I don't care where the level is. I don't care if they're a mean, rotten, dirty, no good for nothing. I'm going to make it so simple that anyone, everybody say anyone, who calls upon me shall be saved. He said, I'm going to make it that simple. Anyone that calls out to me, I'll show up. Folks, it can't get much easier than that. It can't get much simpler than that. That God Almighty would be sitting perched in heaven waiting from the time that Jesus was born to the time he gave his life on the cross for us, so that our sins were washed away through Jesus and that grace was poured out upon this world. To sit there and say, anybody that calls out to me, boom, I'll be there. What makes me sad is that it's that simple, but humanity has made it so complicated. That God made it simple and we try to make it complicated. We let the enemy come into our minds, tell us that God doesn't want to talk to us, God doesn't want to listen to us. We let the enemy come into our minds and tell us that what we've done in life, there's no forgiveness. There's not really going to have any relationship. We say, well, we weren't born right. We've been put in this class, and you know, that's just where we're at. And we keep ourselves from having this glorious relationship with Jesus. We keep ourselves from having this glorious relationship with Jesus. We do things that we say we can't forgive ourselves for when God's not even interested in it. He just wants you to turn and call upon him. We do things that grieve our souls and our minds, and we say, well, how could God love that? Listen to me. He does. He loves you. And this Christmas season, people need to know this. This Christmas season, sitting around your dinner tables and your Christmas days and all the people around you, people need to know this. That God loves them. That he wants to have a relationship with them, but he needs them to do something. He needs them to call out upon him. Amen. Now I want to ask the group to come back up and sing. I love the song, O Holy Night. It's my favorite. Always from the time I was a kid, it was my favorite Christmas song. And I got to doing some research about the song. And the song was written, I believe, in the 1600s. And the priest that day told his congregation, I'd like y'all to go home and I want y'all to find some way to express yourself on this Christmas season for your thanks to Jesus. And I'd like you to, you know, go home and just however the Lord leads you to do, And he said, maybe somebody could, you know, write a song or something. And one of the common people in the church went home that night, woke up in the middle of the night, were inspired, and wrote the words to O Holy Night. Wrote it as a poem. Came back the next day, gave it to the priest for their evening service, and he was blown away and read it. And the song went on, and finally they put lyrics to it. I mean, put words, music to it, excuse me. Put music to it and made it the song that we sing. It always blessed me because it's like that man that night, in his just commonness, God showed up and talked to him. Gave him some words. I believe that God wants to do that to all of y'all. So let's sing this song again. And then we'll go from there. Church, I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want to ask you all to stand up. Like I said earlier, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you may be wrestling with, what may be going on in your heart and your mind right now, but I want you to know something. God loves you. Jesus made a way for you. And all you have to do is just call on Him. Just call on Him. And He'll be there. So I want to take a minute here and just, let's all just bow our heads in an attitude of prayer. You know, if you're in here today and you've never called on Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, well, today's a good day. Today's a good day. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to introduce you to Him. If today's your day and you want to call on Him, you want to know that you're saved and headed to heaven, just lift up your hand, kind of wave it at me and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me today. Today's my day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? You're just, today's your day. You want to get things right with God. You want to know that you're right with Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, pray this with me all together. Those of you that lifted your hands, those of you that you know you just need to get some things right with God, maybe you're in here today and you just kind of need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Just pray this with me all together. Say, Jesus, today's my day. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. I want to be right with you. I believe you are the Savior. You're the Son of God, sent to us. And today, I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, church, let me look at me here. I got one more thing. You know, a lot of times at Christmas, you get together with families and don't raise any hands and don't look down at the ground, you know, but sometimes you got the goofy uncle or the crazy aunt or the, you know, the one that would Christmas would be perfect if they weren't there. I mean, y'all are good people. I know that don't happen to y'all, but I've had thoughts like this before. Well, I hate to tell you, but you may be the only Bible that those people ever see. You may be the only Jesus they'll ever meet. And so I want to pray for you. I want y'all to have the greatest Christmas that you can have. And you're sitting around the table and you're visiting with people and you really want to, you know, thoughts of murder are going through your minds. I want you to be able to overcome that. And I want to believe, God, that, you know, flowing out of you is a love you didn't know you had. Flowing out of you is some grace you didn't know you had. Extending to those people, and that they'll be touched. And who knows, maybe they'll drive home and the angels of the Lord will appear to them, change their life. Y'all in agreement with me on this? So I want to pray for you. So Father, I just declare, Lord, over all these families here today, over everywhere that in this next few days that we'll be traveling and eating with families and visiting with families and running across people, Lord, we haven't seen in a while. I just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us were graced. We have overabounding grace flowing in us right now. That when we sit at the table, Lord, we'll have good words to say. Lord, we'll have that smile on our face, that shaking of the hand, that word, whatever it be, to all our families that'll bless them and bring them closer to Jesus. It'll bring them closer to Jesus. And Lord, you let us see it. You let us see it. Lord, I just pray that all of them will come to know you, Jesus. We'll all come to know you. So everybody say with me, I got it, and I'm going to do it. Can I have my prayer team come down up here? You know, church, you may have something else this morning that you really want to pray over. And so we got the prayer team, pastoral team down here this morning. We'll pray with you. We'll believe this great God of miracles will come into your life and do great things. And I just want you to know from my family to y'all, just God bless you. Y'all are the greatest church in the world. We just pray y'all have the greatest Christmas ever, that you're blessed. Thank you so much for being a great church. I told somebody this morning, if it wasn't for Living Waters Church, I wouldn't go to church. Sounds terrible. I mean, even if I wasn't the pastor, I wouldn't go to church. We need a good message. We need a good word in this day and time. Amen. I've told y'all all through December, you need to rest, you need to enjoy yourselves, you need to have fun. I believe in 2013, we're coming into a big fight. And so it's time to get rested up, time to get your muscles all relaxed. You don't want to get soft, you just want to get relaxed. But this is some good time, some good family time, amen? So thank y'all for all your love and all the things you've given us. You've put weight on me, but I guess I'll get it off in 2013. God bless you. I know you love me, even though you're trying to kill me slowly with sugar. But I'll overcome. Amen. So y'all have fun with your families. Like, I remember, we're not going to have service Wednesday night. And so we'll be back on next Sunday. So grab that person's hand beside you. Look at them again and say, hey, Merry Christmas. Now, Father, I just bless the people today. Just like Moses and Aaron came outside that tent and blessed the people, Lord, I just pronounce a blessing over them all. Lord, that they'll go forth and they'll be with their families, and it'll be the greatest Christmas they've ever had. That, Lord, there'll be joy, just abundant joy over them all. Lord, there'll be just grace upon us all. I thank you that our bodies will be able to endure it all. Lord, we will have fun. We will laugh. Sickness and disease is not a part of our lives. We're going to be blessed and walk in health. And Lord, we just give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. We're down here to pray with you if you need prayer.